Would you pray with me as we get started with the sermon this morning? Father God, we worship you. We thank you that you have always been with us and you will continue to be with us and go before us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We just ask you to speak to each of us this morning. We know that you have a word for us, and I pray that you'd help us to be able to receive it. And above all, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, Lord. I pray that you'd empty everything that is of me out and just let your word, God, and your Holy Spirit come forth. We thank you so much for your presence, and we thank you for this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Early in the pandemic, Pastor Andrew and I preached a sermon series on emotions and mental health. And then we had a book study called Anxious for Nothing. Well, a year later, with things opening up more and more worries about things closing again, with the Delta variant and so many troubling world events, it's likely that you may find yourself feeling worried or stressed about something, not to mention your own personal circumstances. And if you're part of a community group, the prayer ministry, or you've joined our mixed groups, you've probably heard that there are some major concerns many in our congregation are dealing with. In the midst of all that we're facing, it can become easy to focus on the wrong things. It can be easier to focus on the problems instead of on the problem solver. Our God, who already knows the outcome, who fights for us, and who is with us in everything we face. In the best circumstances, it's difficult to keep your thoughts in check. But now add a global pandemic that's changed the way we live and increased our stress and worry levels, and I would say that we're in an all-out war for our minds. But sometimes we don't seem to realize who the real enemy is, or even that we're in a war. It's a spiritual battle that's fought first in our minds. And this morning, first, I want us to focus on the truth that we're in a war with a real enemy. This war is for our thoughts. And this is why Paul told us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in Romans 12:2. He told us to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and to think about things that are true, that are noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. In Philippians 4:8, Proverbs 4:23 in the NLT says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." One commentator said that the heart in Proverbs 4:23 could be paraphrased as the mind, because for Solomon, the heart had an intellectual component and it comprised a person's attitude, desires, and emotions. We need to guard our minds and our thoughts because they determine the direction of our lives. There's a quote that I want to share with you by a pastor named Craig Rochelle. He said this in his book, Winning the War in Your Mind. "The battle for your life is won or lost in your mind. Your thoughts will control you, so you have to control your thoughts." The battle is real. And now that we know we're in a war for our thoughts, let's talk about our enemy. Our enemy is the devil. Pastor Andrew shared a couple of verses last week that tell us that the devil seeks to devour us and that he is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has this tactic that so many people have fallen for. The devil wants to make us believe that he doesn't exist. If we believe this, we won't know where all these attacks are coming from. And we'll fight the wrong things. One author described a war where one of the enemies constantly attacked the other and picked off soldiers easily because the other side did not know their enemy was fighting against them. You would think the side that was constantly falling victim to surprise attacks would start to do some recon, build up their defenses, and devise a battle plan. Sometimes we can be just like this unsuspecting city or country that's constantly attacked and doesn't know where the attacks are coming from. When we don't realize that we have a real enemy who wants to destroy us, we're in a losing battle. But we don't have to lose like this. We can enter the battle and start doing our own recon to get to know our enemy. So now that we know who our enemy is, it's the devil, let's take a look at some of his tactics. One of his main tactics is to lie, lie, and lie again. The enemy will exaggerate our successes to make us think we don't need God. Or he'll magnify our failures by telling us they've crushed us and we'll never succeed. And on and on and on. John 8:44 in the NIV says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders of his day, but the main point that I want you to draw from this scripture is that Satan is a liar. Lying is his native language. So if we believe the enemy's lies, they'll affect us in the same way as if they were the truth. They're not true, but we're living as if they are. Another tactic that the enemy uses is to cause division, resentment, and unforgiveness. 2 Corinthians 2:9 to 11 in the NIV says, "Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes." Satan is scheming. He wants to outwit us. He wants us not to forgive people. He wants us to become resentful and bitter. He wants to divide us. And Revelation 12:10 tells us Satan is the accuser of the brothers and sisters. He accuses us of sins we did not commit, or takes the truth of what we have done and reminds us over and over until we're overcome with guilt, which can lead to crippling negative self-talk. And as a result, instead of repenting of what we've done and asking God to forgive us and change us, we end up rehashing our past mistakes again and again and telling ourselves, "You'll always hurt people when you're angry. You'll always struggle with lust, or you'll always be a discouraging person." You can fill in the blank with a sin that you struggle with. Satan's accusations are lies, or they're his version of stretching the truth. He'll take just a small part of truth and then add a whole bunch of lie to it. Either way, it's destructive. But the good news is that we have someone more powerful than the enemy fighting for us. And we know that Jesus will triumph in the end. Jesus fights for us, but do we have a role in this fight? Yes, we do. We need to realize that we have powerful weapons and we are called to fight. Before we talk about the weapons we have, we need to talk about something even more important. Ephesians 1:19-20 in the NLT says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." God gives us the same power that raised Christ from the dead. The same power. Can you believe that? It's amazing. You might need a minute to take that in. So we're not fighting this war in our own strength. If we were, we would lose, but we aren't. So when you feel weak or that you can't keep fighting, remember that God's resurrection power is at work in you through the Holy Spirit. It enables us to use the weapons God has given us. So let's learn more about these weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 in the NIV says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Our weapons aren't missiles, guns, or tanks. Our weapons have godly or divine power to fight against spiritual attacks that come against our minds and hearts. When it talks about demolishing strongholds, arguments, and pretensions, it's talking about false teaching. And it can also refer to the lies Satan tells us, and especially the lies that have taken deep root in our hearts and have affected our lives in powerful ways. From these verses, we learn that our spiritual weapons are powerful and they destroy Satan's lies. And we are called to follow Paul's example and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This may seem impossible, but you've got to remember that we have the power that raised Jesus from the dead at work in us. So when negative thoughts about ourselves or others or fears and worries come into our minds, we need to stop them, to take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. Another weapon or weapons that we have is the armor of God. It's not literal armor, but Paul creates a word picture that helps us understand that the weapons God has given us, both for defense and offense, help us fight in this war for our minds. Ephesians 6, 14 through 18 in the NIV says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Paul talks about preparing ourselves and protecting ourselves with the truth, with righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, and salvation. These protective parts of our armor are powerful. And I especially like Paul's description of how the shield of faith extinguishes the flaming arrows of the evil one. First, this speaks to how destructive Satan's lies and attacks are. But second, some writers have said that soldiers at the time of Paul's writing used wooden shields covered in leather. They would soak their shields in water before going into battle, so their shields would not catch fire if flaming arrows were shot at them. I like this word picture because it reminds me that faith in God helps us recognize Satan's lies and attacks for what they are and to stop them from destroying us. And our offensive weapons are God's word and prayer. Jesus spoke God's word to Satan when Satan tempted him in the wilderness, and Satan left him alone. And it's the same for us because God's word is powerful. And so is prayer in the name of Jesus. The enemy can't stand when we pray in the name of Jesus. If you're going to enter some type of battle, you're going to come prepared with whatever type of weapons you need. If you're entering a debate, you're going to prepare your arguments. If you're entering a sports competition, you're going to train your body to be at its best. And if you're entering a lip sync battle, you're going to know your song and get your dance moves ready. And in our everyday lives, there are so many things that can feel like a battle if we come unprepared. Most of the time, we're going to prepare ourselves when we go to our jobs, whether that means preparing a presentation, a lesson plan, a financial report. I mean, typically you wouldn't dream of coming unprepared to work or to other important moments in your life. So why is it that in one of the most important battles in our lives, so many Christians don't know what their weapons are or how to use them? We've just talked about what our weapons are. So now let's talk about how to use our weapons in our everyday lives. Another quote by Craig Rochelle from the book Winning the War in Your Mind that is so relevant to this idea is, "You cannot defeat what you cannot define." You have to know what you're fighting against or what is tripping you up. So this is why we need to recognize the lies that we're believing, and we need to recognize the negative patterns of thinking that are causing us to lose the war in our minds. If we don't know what's causing us to struggle, we can't make changes. The first thing that's important to do is to pay attention to your patterns of thinking. I'm going to share a few negative thinking patterns that I talk about with my counseling clients because they come up a lot. They're pretty common. The first is black and white or all or nothing thinking. This is thinking that something we've done is entirely good or entirely bad. Or it's thinking something like, if I'm not perfect, I have failed. Or thinking that there's only one way to do something. And if you don't do that right way, then that's it. Everything's over. Another negative thinking pattern is called filtering. It's filtering out the good of what we've done and focusing only on what went wrong. So something could have gone so well, but there was one small mistake. And then we think, yeah, see, it was a failure. Another one is called magnification. Some people call it catastrophizing. This is blowing negative consequences out of proportion and assuming that you're headed for catastrophe. For example, a student might think that if they failed one math test, that means they're never going to get into a good college and they'll never have a good career. And then this means their life is over and there's no hope. I know this may seem extreme, but it's actually not that far off from what we do sometimes in many situations involving things like our health, our friendship, our jobs, and so many other areas. And one other negative thinking pattern is jumping to conclusions. There's a couple different ways we do this. One is mind reading. We assume we know what other people are thinking, and usually we assume the worst. The other way we jump to conclusions is to predict the future. And usually we predict that our deepest worries and fears will come true. Along with recognizing unhelpful or negative thinking patterns, we also need to label the lies that we've believed. You'll never be good enough. No one loves you, and they never will. You can't change, so why even try? You better hold on to what you have because disaster is always coming and you've got to be prepared. Do any of these sound familiar? Satan wants us to believe lies like this because they keep us from doing what God calls us to do and what he calls us to be. They make us ineffective. So how can we change these negative thinking patterns or stop believing the lies? The first thing we need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to renew our minds, just like it tells us in Romans 12:2. And then we need to do our part to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. It's kind of like when, you know, we pray, when we prepare for a test or an exam, and we pray and ask God to help us. God is totally able to just supernaturally implant that information in your mind when the test comes. But it's much more likely that if you've studied and prepared, the Holy Spirit's going to quicken your mind to remember the things that you've studied that are already there in your mind. And it's the same way when it goes to scripture and other things we can do to fight. The more that we prepare and arm ourselves, the more the Holy Spirit has to work with to renew our minds and to help us learn to use our weapons. So something that's really important is to replace the lies with truth. We need to memorize Bible verses that refute the lies that we believed. And here's some examples of scriptures that refute the lies I mentioned earlier. 2 Corinthians 3:5 in the New King James Version says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." We're enough because our sufficiency comes from God. It doesn't come from us. 1 John 3:16 in the NASB says, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters." Jesus loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. Ephesians 4:22 to 24 in the NLT says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." You can change as you let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, and you start putting on the new nature. 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the NIV says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." You can give generously because God is able to bless you so that you have all you need. Not only do we need to find scriptures that refute the lies and start to memorize them, we need to say them out loud, whether it's reading them or speaking them out loud or writing them down. We need to do this every day. The more you say them, the more you hear them and write them, the more you're going to begin to believe them. And this is something I started doing years ago, and it works. I also have noticed that if I went long periods of time without reminding myself of God's promises and what he says about me, I was more vulnerable to Satan's lies and spiritual attack. And in case you're wondering how this new belief or change happens, let me tell you a little about the amazing way God made our brains. Neural pathways are created in our brains, and they're composed of neurons connected by dendrites. But, you know, you don't have to remember all those technical terms. What's important to realize is that as these neural pathways are created in our brain, they happen because of the habits and the behaviors we do on a regular basis. So you could imagine these pathways as well-worn trails, like you've seen in the woods or the mountains. These habits can become so automatic that we don't even have to think about them. This is a good thing when it comes to driving, riding a bike, and daily habits. But it's not so good when it comes to the negative thoughts that come up automatically after we feel we've said something awkward, or when anxious thoughts come up and we continually ruminate on them. The good news is we can create new neural pathways by doing new behaviors or by purposely focusing on new godly thoughts that come from Scripture. We can blaze new trails in our brains that eventually become what we think or do automatically, but we have to repeat them over and over so that they become the new automatic pathway that our brain chooses to go down instead of that old pathway that had been automatic before. There's a few other things we can do to try to reinforce these new beliefs, these new thoughts that are coming from Scripture. One is to listen to music that reminds you of the truths you're reinforcing. Lyrics tend to get stuck in our heads, and if they're lyrics that remind you of God's truth, they can help reinforce the truths that you're starting to believe and that you're working on. And something else that you can do that's really important is to find resources that will help you on this journey. There's actually a list that's going to be sent out in the weekly email, but the resources on this list are just the beginning. There's a few things I want to mention. There's a link to the book that I've been referencing, Winning the War in Your Mind. And there's a Spotify playlist of songs that will remind you of who God is, what he does, and what he says about you. And there's also a link to a blog post that has lots of Bible references covering many topics. The last thing I encourage you to do as you're beginning to renew your mind, as you're fighting this war against the enemy and against the lies that he's telling you, is to lean on your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all on the same team. We're fighting this war together in Jesus's name. So let's help each other by praying for each other and holding each other accountable. As I've been saying, we are in a war and our enemy is real, but God fights for us and he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit and his word to fight back when the enemy attacks our thoughts or when we tell ourselves the same negative things over and over. God wants to use you for his glory. Don't let negative thinking or worry hold you back from all God wants you to be. Take the time to discern the lies you've believed and then find scriptures to refute them. If you're not sure where to find the verses you need, a concordance and Google are your friends. And so are your brothers and sisters in Christ. After you've found these truths, these Bible verses that you're going to focus on, commit to repeating them and commit to repeating them regularly so that you're creating a new neural pathway in your brain. We can win this war with God's help and the support of our church family. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much and we thank you that you are fighting for us and that you've given us the power that raised Jesus from the dead. We don't have to fight this war alone. But we know that with your help, God, and with the tools that you've given us, with the weapons you've armed us with, that we can fight this war and we can win. We already know, Jesus, that you are going to triumph over the enemy. We know that that is the end. And so we don't have to be afraid of, well, what if we don't win? God, we know you're going to win. So I pray that you would strengthen us today. I pray that you would speak to each of us. Help us to take the time we need to really determine what are the lies I've been believing? What are the areas where the enemy just keeps attacking me? And then help us, Lord, to do what we need to do, to ask for your help and to use the tools and the weapons you've given us. Father, I pray that you would anoint us as your body to hold each other up, God, to fight this war together and to be more, God, than we have been, so that we can do what you've called us to do. God, use us in powerful ways. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us today, God, just help this word, God, to become so imprinted on our hearts, and help us as we make and we create those new neural pathways so that we would just automatically think about and remember your word and the truth of who you are and what you say about us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.